Okay. So we're going on in the Sefer Toma Devorah. We're up to the eighth midah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yechbosh Avonosenu. So it's going to be similar to Yeshuv Yerachameinu, but it has its own unique qualities as well. So let's get started. Harei HaKadosh Baruch Hu misnaheg im Yisrael b'midah zu, v'isod kevishas ad ha'avon. This is the secret of suppressing sins. Ki hinei ha'mitzvah hi kiporachas also notza, u'bokeya v'ola ad ein tachlis lichnos l'fon of Yisbarach. Mitzvos, they grow. They constantly are growing higher and higher and reaching further up towards in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Amnam ha'avonos ein lehem kenisa sham chas v'shalom ela ko sham shelo yichnesu. But what this midah is that theoretically our actions should have equal opportunity. Our mitzvos should be able to strive higher and our averos should strive equally as high, chas v'shalom, before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But this midah is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu only lets the mitzvahs in the door. Only the mitzvahs are allowed to reach the highest levels in Shemayim. The averos, those get cut down, those get stomped out. It's yichbosh. Hashem stomps those out. The pasuk says, lo yagurcha ra. Right, lo yagur b'megurecha ra. That evil does not enter into God, where God dwells. Only the mitzvahs can enter there. Im kein ein ha'avon nechnas penima. The avera does not enter into the inner chambers. So there was a story that this reminded me of that I think really exemplifies this midah, I think this attribute, this idea. It's not in terms of the contrast between mitzvos versus averos, but it's akinekach, the ability of mitzvos. Now, there are many messages in this story. This is a Talmud Yerushalmi in Maseches Sanhedrin in Perek Chelek. Yerushalmi is discussing the evil king Menashe. Menashe was basically the worst king that the Jewish people ever had. He reigned for 55 years. He brought Avodah Zarah into the Beis HaMikdash. If you read Sefer Shmuel, he was basically the cause for the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash wasn't destroyed in his lifetime, but he was the main primary cause for its ultimate destruction. But ironically, if you read Divrei HaYamim, he did tshuva at the end of his life. So that's not mentioned in Sefer Shmuel. They left that part out. So there's a larger question at hand, which is, what's the interplay between Sefer Shmuel and Sefer Divrei HaYamim? Because why are some things only mentioned in one Sefer? Why are some things changed? You know, David's the story with David and Bathsheba is omitted from Divrei HaYamim. So that, you know, it really begs a larger question, which needs to be explored in terms of the purpose of those two Sfarim. But Menashe does do tshuva in Sefer Divrei HaYamim. So presumably he did it, just not recorded in Sefer Shmuel. But in discussing that, the Yerushalmi has an amazing ma'aseh. Amar Levi Mula Shel Nechoshes Asu Lo V'Nasnu Asa B'Socha V'Hayu Masikin Tachtav. Okay, that's the Avodah Zarah that he set up. Kevin Shara She Tzoraso Tzora Lo. When Menashe saw that difficult things were coming upon him, difficult things. Lo hiniach avodah zara ba'olam shelo hiskira. He tried to he worshipped every single avodah zara in the world. He didn't leave any avodah zara unturned, unworshipped, in hope that they would save him. Kevan shelo hoil lo klum. But then nothing helped. The tzaras kept coming. So Omar, so you know what he said? Zohar ani, I remember when I was a little boy, Shehaya avi makre osi es haposak hazeh. My father, bebesa kineses. My father, I remember as a little boy, he would teach me this pasuk. But tzal chol mazauch kol hadvarim ha'ela ba'acharis hayamim V'shavta ad Hashem Elokecha. V'shamata bekolo ki el rachum Hashem Elokecha lo yarvecha v'lo yashchisecha v'lo yishkach es bris avosecha asher nishba lahem harani koreoso. So that is that, right, at difficult times, you should call out and return to God, right? And He will, and He's a God of mercy, and He'll take care of you. So I remember that pasuk. So Menashe made a deal. He made a cheshbon in his mind. He said, Hare ani koreosa. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to call out. Call out. Im one osi mutav. If Hashem answers my prayers, good. V'im lav, ha kol ape shavin. But you know what? If He doesn't answer me, God, chas v'shalom, is the same as all these other avodah zarah that didn't answer me. He's just one of these things in the junk pile. Doesn't work. So what was the reaction in Shemayim? V'hayu malachei asharis mistamin es hachalonos shelotale tfiloso shel Menashe afnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The malachim ran around and quickly closed up all the doors, all the windows, so Menashe's tshuva would not come up. V'hayu malachei asharis omrim l'fnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ribono shel olam, adam shavar avodah zarah v'hem itzelem b'heikol atav v'kavlu b'tshuva. I don't understand. This person, he worshipped avodah zarah. He put an idol in the heichal, and you're going to accept tshuva from such a person? So Amar lahem im eini mekablo b'tshuva harei ani noel es hadelos b'vnei kol bali tshuva. Hashem said, "What can I do if I don't accept his tshuva? So I'm sealing the door in front of all bali tshuva." And there's a lot has been written about this Agadah in particular, but the point is that one idea is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying there's no such thing as being beyond the pale of tshuva. Tshuva can work no matter where you are. No matter how far adrift a person may think they are, say, well, where I am, tshuva doesn't work. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying, no. Works. Works for Menashe, could work for you too. Work friend, the door is always open for tshuva. Ma asa lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What did God do? So this is what reminded me of what we just read in the Talmud Devarah. Chasar lo chasira mitachas kisei hakavod shalo. V'shamat chinasa. How did the ksiva ispel lo v'yatar lo v'yishmat chinasa v'yishiveh Yerushalayim malchusa. Hashem dug, all the windows were closed. The Olachim closed the windows. So Hashem dug a hole under the kisei hakavod. Hashem himself dug the hole under Kisei HaKavod, and that was where they came in. Why is it related? Because we're saying the mitzvos are allowed to come in. The averos can never come in. They're there, they're on the record, but they never get into the inner chambers in Shemayim. But the mitzvos are like this tshuva from Menashe. HaKadosh Baruch Hu dug a little hole, and it came right through. And that's what the pasuk says, that he davened, and he besieged God, and God listened and returned him to Yerushalayim as the king. So, I think it's an unbelievable story of Menashe, in general, this Agadata. I think it's phenomenal. But I think it's related to the Talmud of the Torah, because again, you know, this idea that the mitzvahs, only the mitzvahs reach in. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was never digging a hole so we could see what the averas are. The averas are there, but we don't need to be mine. The mitzvos, those get all the way in. Those get a free pass all the way in. So, now in terms of verses, Tam Zeh, Schar Mitzvah V'hai Al Meleka. So he explains, that's Pshat, with the Gemara in Kiddushin, when the Kiddushin says, Schar Mitzvah V'hai Al Meleka, there's no such thing as a reward for a mitzvah in this world. Why? Because where do the mitzvahs go? They go up to Shemayim and they stay in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'yachitin lo mimashe l'fanav, Schar Ruchni bo'olam gashmi. And it doesn't translate. Right, the Olam Haruchni, right?
It's because,
right?
By Hashem, a lot of times they get the reward in this world, so it's.
Oh, that's an interesting heart. That's interesting. Yeah, it's an interesting heart. When we get, we can discuss that in 1 minute. No, that's a very good heart. But come back to that 1 second. So, again, the mitzvos, those enter an entirely spiritual realm, and therefore there's no translation for that into a physical reward. And therefore, the reward has to ultimately remain spiritual. That's what he's explaining. The mitzvahs ascend to such a high place that it's not shayach for them to come back down in a physical sense, because they're elevated in front of the Kodesh
Baruch. Apparently, we see the rewards for mitzvahs in this world.
So that's a kasha, not on this. That's a kasha in the Gemara.
Second paragraph of like Shema.
Oh, so as a 100%, it's a valid kasha on this Gemara in general. What means chad mitzvah b'hayim alaka? So it's also in a schar v'onesh.
In this world. Salvage also is like a whole Torah about how two of these sort of divros have physical ramifications within this world.
Right. So. Sorry. No.
Or I saw on the
end. Yeah.
On the outside and the inside.
There are different. So there are different approaches, I would say, in general, to understand the Gemara of Schar Mitzvah HaMalaka. Either you could say one approach is like what we say every morning, that Perusayim Ba'alam Azeh, right? Karen Kaisal Haba. In terms of, that's not really the Schar. That's like a fringe benefit. But that's not, this is nothing. That's one approach. Another approach, which is a more Kabbalistic approach, is that Schar Va'onesh, sometimes, is not a reaction to, but a result of. Meaning, what does that mean? If someone steals, let's say, and they get thrown in jail, that's probably a reaction to. You stole, right? And now you have to go to jail. We're punishing you, making you go to jail. But if I am cold and I stand close to a fire, it's not a reaction to me standing close, it's a result of me standing close that I am now warmed. So many explain that doing mitzvahs increases our connection with Kodesh Baruch. I think the Nefesh HaChaim has like this in a number of places. So by becoming closer and more linked with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, as a result of that, there's increased Shefa coming down, and therefore there will be Bracha in your life and there will be reward. It's not as a reward for the mitzvah, it's as a result of the mitzvah. So that's an approach. But it's still a valid kasha that needs to be fleshed out in terms of the understanding of this Gemara. Right, so the whole world really it can't really contain this mitzvah. What does that mean? And therefore, you shouldn't take shochad as bribery. You shouldn't take bribery of mitzvos. So we'll see what that means in a minute. Hamashal was that Kodesh Baruch Hu Omer. What was it? Aseh arba'im mitzvos ve'eser averos. Meaning, what does that mean? I should be able to sit down at the negotiating table with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, and I should say, listen, let's put it all on the table. Hashem, keep the time. Put it all on the table. Here's the mitzvos, here's the averos. So, Baruch Hashem, I have more mitzvos than averos, let's say. So I'll say, listen, why don't we just, he gives the mashal, let's say you have 40 mitzvos and 10 averos. So I'll say, listen, you wipe the 10 averos out, I'll take 10 mitzvos off the table, even swap, I'm left with 30 mitzvos. Why don't we do that? How's that deal sound? Right? Hamashal was that in a Kodesh Baruch Hu Omer Aser Ba Mitzvos VeEser Averos Nisharu Shlosha Mitzvos VeElku Eser VeEser. Right, let's just cancel out 10 and 10. Right, like when we learn fractions and little kids learn about canceling. So let's just cancel them out. Hamashal Ella, no, that's not what happens. Afilu Tzadik Gomer VeSavera Achas Dome Lefan of Kilu Sarfes a Torah. Even a person that's Tzadik Gomer, they commit one Avera. So you say, what do you mean? All the mitzvahs should cancel out that one Avera? Nope. That one Avera is still as if a person is sorry for Sat Torah. He has to initially pay the debt, the havdil of the avera, and only then is the path set for him to receive his reward, which is a nuance within the Nefesh Chaim's vort. Because again, it's not a straight line. You can't just say, well, here's me. Here's a Kodesh Baruch Hu, and mitzvahs are bringing me closer, and averos are bringing me further away. Because then, lechora, if that were true, that it was just one straight line, so if you say I do 20 mitzvahs and 10 averos, so at least overall I'm 10 steps closer, right? Then I do 20 more mitzvahs and 10 more averos, right? So I'm 10 steps closer. But you see, it's not true, is what he's saying. That's not the case. So that doesn't mean Nefesh Chaim is wrong. It's just a re-understanding, re-evaluating of the thing. As we'll see, it sounds like the Averos are on some level monea. They withhold the bracha and the reward that one can receive from a mitzvah. So we'll skip the Gemara now, but if you look at the Ramban here, right? So the Ramban on the Torah, on the Pasuk of Velo Yikach Shochad, right? So Miyad Adam from person, Uperishu B'Shochad. So what does that mean, Shochad? So I would have thought Shochad just meant someone says, listen, if you pass in the din in my favor, I'll give you a check for $1,000. So Ramban doesn't say that. He says, Uperishu B'Shochad, Sha'afilu Chasid Gamor, She'yavor Avera, Lo yikach mimenu mitzvah mimitzvosav b'shochad l'chaper lo. Aval ya'ani shehu al chet'av v'yigmol lo k'chol tovosav. He says exactly what the Talmud Devorah says. He says that's pshat in the pasuk. That's pshat in the pasuk. Don't think that there's what to be explained, because dayanim, right, that sit on a beis din, the Torah refers to them as Elohim, which obviously also refers to God. And so it's not surprising that the Ramban creates this parallel almost, especially if you put it together with the Talmud Devorah, that the Talmud Devorah is saying God doesn't act in this way. God doesn't cancel out the mitzvahs and the averos, and then you just get reward on the mitzvahs that are left. And so too, Dayanim shouldn't act that way, because the Dayanim are ultimately a representation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Ratan of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what's going on in this world. So that's where Ramban says pshat in the pasuk of Elo Yikach Shochad, exactly what Talmud Devorah says. There's also sort of not completely in line with the Talmud Devorah is the Gemara, and I haven't thought if there's a way to resolve these, or it's the Gemara is talking. The Gemara in Maseches Sotah Daf Chaf Aleph says Avera Mechabe Mitzvah Ve'in Avera Mechabe Torah. An Avera can extinguish a mitzvah, but an Avera cannot extinguish the Torah. So what is it? Little Rashi, brought here. Avera mechabes schar mitzvah. You had X amount of schar coming to you, the Avera can cancel that out. Ve'en Avera mechabes Torah, schar mishazuk b'Torah. Kodem lachein, alma mitzvah lo, migna kulehai. So the schar for Torah is greater. It's keneged kulama. As we say every day, and also as the pasuk says, ner mitzvah v'torah or. So a ner is like one of those little Hanukkah candles, very small. Or is much greater, right? So this the impression here in this gemara is that avera can be mechad of the schar mitzvah. It is they do almost cancel out, at least the way Rashi is explaining. But not Torah. So it doesn't cancel the Torah, but the mitzvah does. So I'm not sure if this is different. I could leave it up to you if this is saying something different than the Torah Devorah, or there's a way to resolve it and piece it together. But it's an interesting idea. Now again, this makes sense if you think about that linear line, because you say, hey, listen, I took 10 steps closer to Kodesh Baruch, and now I do an Avera, I have to take a step backwards. I lose a step. So leave it out there.
Which I've always thought
of
it like that, but maybe...
You've always thought of linear?
Yeah,
so for you, the Talmud Devorah is the Chiddush.
I guess so, yeah.
And the Ramban al Torah, that's the Chiddush. Right, so I would have always thought like this.
That
they're two separate accounts. It's not like, right, you know, you have one one bank account, so you have credits and debits, but it's all in the same account, right?
Right.
So he's saying, no, not like that. You have your credit, you have your...
I've never thought of it in terms of like...
Yeah.
Taking away and giving, but in terms of getting closer or going further away.
Right. So I wonder if there's a way to resolve the two by saying, you're right, maybe in terms of the closer and moving away, because again, that's not schar v'onesh, right? Like Nevi'im Chaim explains, that's result-oriented.
Right.
That's just a result of being closer to God, a result of distancing yourself from God. It's like being close to a fire or further away from a fire. It's going to result in you being warm or cold. But the schar v'onesh, that's a separate account. And there's a schar account, there's a mitzvah account, and you're building up schar, and there's an onish account. And it's just that it happens to be that the avera chamber is in front of the mitzvah chamber. And therefore, just to get to all that sky, you're going to have to settle your account on the there. But it's not that one cancels each other out.
Right.
That might be a way to resolve all these ideas together in saying that there's really two things happening here, right? One is the ultimate schar or the ultimate onish that we have to pay for the averos, right? Or we'll receive for the mitzvos. And the other one is this line, this, you know, either closeness or distance that we feel with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And there, it could be that an avera undoes the, you know, the step forward that we took. The avera can undo that. Does that...
Yeah, it does, although, like, in the end of, like Budoy, for instance, like, they say, like, in Budoy, like, the certain things, okay, you did A, B, and C,
mm-hmm.
that's avera, but that can be rectified. I forget the exact question, and...
Oh, so for...
Kippur, but there's, like...
Right, so for averos... No, so we always believe in the concept of tshuva.
No, but says mamash, like, certain things can be...
Like a tikkun.
Right, tikkun, like, certain...
No, but okay, but that's probably b'chlal tshuva. I mean, I'm not an expert in tikkunim and these types of things, but l'chora, that's still within the framework of tshuva, I would say, right? I think so. So, but coming back to the larger mida as a whole, the mida as a whole is teaching us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not let the averos come before him. Right? Those don't enter lefnai v'lefnim l'havdil. Those don't get front row seats. They're stuck in the bleachers. The averos are there, but they're stuck in the bleachers. The mitzvahs, they have the front row seats. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu focuses on. This is an unbelievable chesed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu performs for the tzaddikim. She'enu menachem im neisha mitzvahs chashuvas ma'od umit alos ad lefanav yisbarach. Right. Again, that he values the mitzvahs much more, and therefore he lets them come in. And that's not going to... The averos can't take away from that. Is it? The averos can't take away from that. Kisgar ha-avera hu mechilek ha-kehenim meha-nevaza ha-mitzvahs chara meha-nechbad zivashchina. So now, he's explaining, which is something we would have thought anyways, right? That onesh for an avera, that comes from the aspect of Gehenim, right? From a very low aspect. And the reward for mitzvahs, that's a very exalted level that comes from the Ziv HaShchina. So, Heyekinacha, Elu B'tzad Elu. So they don't even... How can one cancel out the other? They don't even... They don't meet. They don't... You know, they're operating on two different, completely different planes that it's not even shayach for them to meet and cancel each other out. Ella, rather what happens, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is go vechov ha'averos umaskir schar kol ha'mitzvahs. So first, rather, what does God do? He says, no, I don't want to take away from the schar that this person deserves. So what am I going to do? Instead of taking away from the schar, I'm just going to collect in another fashion from the averos, and then I'll give him all the reward. And then I'll give a person all the reward. V'hainu yichbosh avonoseinu. She'ein ha'avonos misgabrin lefanav kemitzvahs. Ela kovesh osam shelo yis'ala velo yichnesu. That's what it means, yichbosh avonosav. But again, he doesn't allow the avonos to strengthen up to enter into the realm of mitzvahs, to cancel out the mitzvahs. He suppresses them. Im hiyot shehu mashgiach al darche ish, hatov v'hara. Im kozeh hatov eino kovsho. Ela poreach... V'ola ad l'ma'od, v'nichlam mitzvah mitzvah, v'nivneh, mimenu binyanu levush nechbar, v'avonos ein lehem segula zu. Ela, kovesh osam shelo yatzlichu hatzlacha zu, lo yichnasu penima. One's idea is that, and now that you, so when you look back on a person's life, there are two ways. You could say, well, we can paint one picture, right? We can paint one picture. And that picture could have a lot of mitzvahs and many averos and many beautiful spots and many ugly spots. And, you know, you'll come out with not such a nice looking picture. Right? Or the mashal the Talmud Dvorah uses is a beged. Right? You could sew a beged, but you're going to use some worn out thread in some parts for the averos, right? And some fancier thread for nicer parts. But in the end, that's not going to be a beautiful beged. You don't have a person that never sins in his life. So there are going to be parts of the person's beged, or parts of this picture, that are going to be sloppy, or ugly, or whatever. That is, Talmud is saying that's not the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants it. Everyone has a beautiful picture. It's all the mitzvahs. Some people who do less mitzvahs, their beautiful picture might be a 4x6, and other people might have a whole wall, ceiling, canvas, you know, of mitzvahs. But everyone's picture is going to be pure. It's going to be a perfect, perfectly clean picture, a perfect beged, not one thread out of place. Only the mitzvahs. That's what paints the picture. Either averos, he says, yes, there are averos. The averos don't enter the picture. The averos, that's something you have to settle the score before you get to the picture.
Isn't that the case after Gehenna anyhow? Is that like a post-Gehenna view? That?
Yeah, oh, so that's exactly.
So it's like no, it's the Kiddush now.
So the Kiddush, I think, is that even with the Gehenna view, the at least a potential view is saying no. You have a beged that has nice parts and ugly parts, or a painting, and then when a person goes through the Gehenna experience, that fixes everything. Right?
Right.
This is saying no. This is saying the Averas never got that high. The Averas never reached the place where the beged is. They never reached the place where the picture is painted. They never get there. The Averas, that's like the entrance fee. It, which, you know, again, what that does is it says our actions are unequal. Our mitzvahs are much greater in proportion to our averos. Not, you know, again, meaning in quality. You know, again, quantity, that's going to vary by the person. But in quality, your averos can never, again, a person has many averos in their life, and they want to say that, it won't cancel out. Leaving aside, in terms of HaKadosh Baruch Hu might give them the reward in this world, so they have, but leaving aside that issue, the point is in theory at least, what the Torah Dvorah is pointing out, is that all the averos in the world can't reach, can't touch where one mitzvah can touch. Which, first of all, teaches you an unbelievable lesson about the power of one mitzvah. The power of one mitzvah. That it doesn't, that averos can't go there. And second of all, it enhances a little bit, or a lot bit, what we're doing in this world. Because we're building that beged, that picture, whatever it is we're building, that chelak in olam haba, he doesn't use that word, but theoretically, and we're only using the best ingredients. We're only using the finest materials. There are no blotches there. There's no negatives there. There are no remnants of anything negative that we did. Theoretically, if you would be able to view someone's chelik and olam haba, whether it's their picture, their beggar, whatever it is, you wouldn't have any clue what averes that person did. You might be able to say this person did a lot of mitzvahs, he has a palace, this person did a few mitzvahs, he has a trailer. You know, whatever, you might be able to figure out that, but you'll there's no remnant of the Averos. Because the Averos don't enter there. There's a sign on the front door, no Averos allowed. That's the chesed of this Midah. So the Rambam, I mean, obviously we've been doing a lot of Rambams in Hilchos Shuva, so the Rambam here in Hilchos Shuva, again, Perek Zayin Halacha Vav, says, G'dola Tshuva Shemakrevis is Ha'odom L'Shechina, right, this goes back to this Nefesh HaChaim idea, that tshuva brings someone closer to the Shechina. Sh'ne'emar, Shuvi Yisrael ad Hashem Elokecha, that when you do tshuva, you come closer to God. V'ne'emar, V'lo Shavtom Adei Nu'um Hashem. V'ne'emar, Im Tashuv Yisrael, Nu'um Hashem Elai Tashuv. They should return to me. Fine. Kolomar, Im Tachzor B'tshuva, Bi Tidbak. If you do tshuva, you will cling to me. Ha'tshuva Mekareves Es HaRechokim. Tshuva brings those who are far away closer. Emesh hayezeh, sanui lefnei hamakom, mishukatzu miruchak, v'toeva, v'ayom hu ahu v'nechmad karuv v'yadav. You might wonder, how is it possible this person was wretched and despised by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then, almost instantly, or now, he's close to God. He's one of the closest people to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Where'd that happen? Where'd that turnaround happen? V'chein ha-tamotzi, sheb'loshon she-HaKadosh Baruch Hu marchik ha-chotim, God distances the sinners, right? Ba-mekarev es ha-shavim, bein yachid, bein rabim. She-ne'emar, v'ayob makom asher yomar lahem, lo ami atem, yomar lahem b'ni kelchai, v'ne'emar, b'yechanyohu, b'rishaso, kizu es ha-ish hazeh, Ari ri gev lo yitzach biyamav, and miyeh Kanehu ben Yoyakim, Melch Yudah, Hosem al Yad Yiminov Gomer, Vikim and Sheshav. Again, so who is this? Yechanyahu, he was a Rasha, so the Pasuk speaks very negatively about him, but then he's the Tshuva, Vikim and Sheshav, because on Neamar Bizrubavel, Banu Bayom Ahu, Num Hashem, Tzavos Ekachecha, Zrubavel ben Shaltiel, Avdinu Hashem, Samticha Kechotem. Meaning, and then, in contrast, after a person did Tshuva, he is like considered an Eved Hashem again. Again, so how is that possible? Because tshuva is the way around the entrance fee. Right? Instead of saying, I have to pay for all these averos, you could just wipe them all out with tshuva. Obviously, sincere tshuva. But what the Rambam is saying is then, and then what's waiting on the other side? You're a karov, you're an ahov of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, because again, you've painted this beautiful picture, you've built this beautiful beged. Right? There's just this entrance fee. So whether a person has to pay through onshin, through yisurin, through tshuva, however it's going to happen, that's how you can create this contrast. That's what the Rambam's saying. That a person can go from one extreme to the other. Tshuva is probably the quickest way in. But there's this pristine end game that's waiting on the other side. So now the Talmud is going to say, so what is it doing for me on my daily interactions? Af mi dezu, tzarech ha'adam lez nahig ba. Shelo yichbosh tovas chavero, v'yizkor ra so shekem lehu. El ad rabbi yishbo yichbosh hara, v'yishkachehu, v'yaznichehu, v'lo yagur, v'mguro ra. This is actually, I think, counter to what you see in the world. But he's saying is that we interact with people. People do good things for us. People do not such good things for us. People do good and bad things for us. He says, a person should not say, that person, oh, one time he did this terrible thing to me. He might have done 10 good things to me, but it doesn't matter. All that sticks out of my mind is that one negative experience. People like to focus on the negative. He says, Chas v'sholom, Talmud Rosh says, you have to do the opposite. If a person did 10 negative things to you and one positive thing, focus on the positive. That's what a Kadosh Baruch Hu does. V'tiyah tovah sedura tamid lefanav. He should focus on the good. The good should be what's in front of him always. V'yazkir lo hatova v'yagabira lo al kol ha'maisim sha'asol lo. V'lo yinacha b'libo v'yomar im asoli tovah harei asoli ra. V'yishkach hatovah. I shouldn't cancel him out in my mind. I shouldn't say, well, hey, he did 5 good things for me and 10 bad things. So basically, he did 5 bad things for me and that's it. No! That's not the way it works. It's not the way it works in Shemayim. It's not the way it works for mitzvahs and averos. And that's not the way we should make our cheshbonos with people. Lo yaseh kein ela b'ra yisratze kol derech ritzoy sheyachol. Sheyuchal. V'atova al yiznicha li'olo mibeninov. V'yalim eno min hara. So again, the midah is that when we interact with people, we need to focus on the good that they've done. Right? Again, this is more personal because the midah, right? Ki chafet chesed hu, there it says, even if this person only does wrong to me, I should focus on the good he does even for other people. But here it's saying on a personal level. On a personal level, he's done 5 good things to me and 5 bad things for me. I should focus on the 5 good. I should suppress the 5 bad things, which is counterintuitive, certainly countercultural, not what you see going on in the world today, but that's the meaning that we have to try and emulate. It's certainly a challenge, but you know, it's not a detail-oriented thing that you could just do in 1 second or one today I did it. It's a paradigm shift, you know? It's a paradigm shift to always focusing on positive, to being more positive. We live in a very negative society. A society feeds off negativity, you know? Which is, you know, part of like, you know, times are tough right now, believe me, but, you know, there's a lot of focus on negative and it feeds off each other and you sort of create this downward spiral vortex that just sucks everything down with it, you know? But a big paradigm shift occurs when people say, I'm going to focus on the positive. I'm going to focus on the positive of my life. I'm going to focus on the positive of my work. in my family, my interactions with people. And when you do that, that's yichbosh avonosenu. That's suppressing the negative. Doesn't mean it's not there, but it means that's not what I'm going to focus on, because that's not the type of person that I want to emulate. Rather, I want to emulate HaKadosh Baruch Hu, yichbosh avonosenu.